Good afternoon. Welcome to this Good Friday community service here at Seventh Reformed. I would like to extend a special thanks to the ministers who will point us this afternoon to our Lord Jesus Christ. Reverend Mark Haldeman, Dean of Students at PRTS, Reverend C.J. Dendalk from Trinity CRC, Reverend Rob Van Manen at Little Farms OPC, Dr. Andrew Vandermaas, Christchurch PCA, Reverend Shelby Gemmon at Grand Reformed, Dr. Michael Barrett, Dean of Academics and Old Testament Professor at PRTS, and Reverend Bill Fenema, retired minister of the RCA. My name is Reverend Paul van Engelenhove, and I am the interim minister here at Seventh Reformed.
Dear friends, as we gather this afternoon to hear the final words that our Lord spoke some number of years ago, these words ought to grip our attention and to hold us fast with wonder and amazement as we consider these precious words that he has spoken. Not only a man as he walked upon the earth like we do, but the Son of God in the flesh. And so Jesus prayed with his disciples in John 17. He prayed for those who believed on him, those who would believe on him through the disciples' words. And he says, I'm not praying for the world. But now we come to this first word, and I'm going to read this passage briefly from Luke 23 and verse 34, or 33 and 34. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors which were on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiments and cast lots. Actually, these words of Jesus are a prayer. And it's not as you read it here, he said these words in prayer and then there was silence. But the original language tells us that it seems with every hammer blow that was driving home these stakes into his arms and into his feet, there was this repetition, Father, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And our Lord's mind that was so often filled with the Old Testament scriptures, how could it be that he would not have had in mind something like the passage of Isaiah 53, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. My righteous servant shall bear the iniquities of many, and they shall be justified because he poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he made intercession for transgressors. That's precisely what our Lord is doing here as we see him, as we can envision what's taking place there on the hill of Golgotha. As he's being nailed by the soldiers to this wooden tree, he is crying out in prayer to his Father. No doubt his mind would be on these words of prophecy, transgressors on either side. So who heard these words? That's what I want you and I to think about as we have these few minutes together pondering these first words of our Lord. The Father heard them. What must it have been for Jesus' Father to have heard him utter these words? The Father who had heard his Son throughout his entire life as he went to the mountainside, as he taught his disciples to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, here is a cry of great need. And it's not for himself. It's not for his Father to call down wrath and vengeance upon these who are doing this to him, although he does say they don't know what they're doing. He is therefore saying, because they don't know what they're doing, because they don't understand the magnitude of what's taking place here, forgive them. He is interceding for transgressors. And in a sense, we could say something like this is what Jesus' words mean. Look on me at what's taking place, Father. They have taken me, thy Son, whom you have sent, and nailing him now to this tree. They have falsely accused me. But forgive them. This is the purpose for which I have come. The load of sin and guilt, Father, is coming on me in a more profound way than ever before in my ministry. Father, forgive them. Remember them in thy mercy and grace because of the work that I am accomplishing even in these very moments. Could you imagine the Father in heaven, the Lord of all glory, who hears all things, who is the everlasting God, doesn't hear? Father, imagine for a moment this was your son, who wicked men, cruel men, have taken him and begin to torture him and have crucified him. What would you do if you were a father who had all power and all might and all authority in your hands and you hear this cry from your son, Father? You wouldn't stand idly by. You would want to rescue. You would want to even perhaps give yourself. But here the father hears these words with understanding of the heart of his son. I've come to do thy will. Not my will, but thine be done. And so in this moment, we see the Lord shining brightly as a mediator for transgressors. Father, forgive them. But secondly, there is also a group of people who are around this cross, who hear these words. The disciples, it seems, have fled away. The women are gathering with him, and a crowd of people, no doubt, have followed this procession to the hill Golgotha. The soldiers are there. How could it be that these who had heard him speak, who had heard of his miracles, who had heard of his words, would do these things to him who is an innocent lamb? Here they are crucifying the Lord of glory. What a sin, what a travesty, what a peak and climax of all sin that has ever entered into this world, that the Father's Son they have taken and with wicked hands have crucified him. The Father had said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And these first words then that our Lord speaks at his crucifixion demonstrates to us his whole ministry, his whole heart, his whole soul. Forgive them. Forgive them who have done this to me. It's a prayer for enemies. You know, our Lord, he taught his own disciples, his followers, while he was ministering on the earth, and he had taught them to pray for those who would despitefully use them. And here he is demonstrating, not only by example, but he is also interceding for those who would follow in his footsteps, like Stephen and like Peter and like those today who are being martyred for the name of Christ. Father, forgive. And those who have been forgiven, give them to also be able to pray in submission to thy will. Forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Dear friends, this prayer for those who are gathered there at the foot of the cross was sufficient for the greatest of sinners, for all those who didn't know what they were doing. If you and I look back in our lives, there was a time when we didn't know what we were doing. We were serving ourselves, we were serving sin and the pleasures of this world. But there was an intercessor, a mediator who is praying for transgressors. He was numbered with the transgressors and he made intercession for them. Imagine if you were among this crowd or you're one of the soldiers who had witnessed all these things. The inscription above his head is, "This is the King of the Jews." And they had no doubt heard that he had claimed to be the Son of God, the King. But here he's praying for those very people who literally have cried out, "Crucify him," and the soldiers who have nailed the nails. He's praying, "Father, forgive them." This is our God. what abounding mercy faces us as we consider these words our Lord has spoken. There is no forgiveness of sins, friends. There is no peace and pardon apart from what our Lord is doing and has done in these moments. If there was any moment in the history of man that deserved the wrath of the Father to be poured out, it was now. But he didn't pour it out on those around the cross. He poured it out on his Son. As the representative, our Lord there takes the place of we who deserve the curse. But lastly, we see this as a prayer also for people even today. You and I are privileged, and all those who are listening have this privilege of being able to hear this word still today. We who are guilty of sins of in a certain sense like magnitude of those who even nailed the nails to his arms and his feet, literally. And Jesus is here showing us his heart, making intercession for sinners. Satan can be sent away with these words if he comes to plague us. Your sin is too great. You have done too many things that are unpardonable. We may come back to this first word of our Lord on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. They were inexcusable. But here's our excuse to come before the Father's throne and say, he has prayed for people, for a person, just like me. And when you come to him, dear friends, in this way, he will be the same as he was as these hammer blows are hitting the nails. And he repeats over and over, Father, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Do you know this by experience in your heart? This reality of Christ who intercedes for sinners just like us. He is saying this afternoon to those who hear, whether you're a young man who's going on his way in the world and not paying attention to what the Lord is saying, or a young woman who is pursuing the pleasures of this world or her own life, or parents and grandparents who have spent so much time in pursuing the things that would seemingly bring you satisfaction apart from Christ or apart from the Father in heaven. He is saying this afternoon, Father, forgive them. They don't understand. They don't know what they were doing. If we catch a glimpse of this word and the others that follow, how would our lives be transformed? To believe and to understand by faith that this our Lord who came from glory, suffered in this way, is now in the moment of crisis praying, interceding. How much more as the risen Lord, the Father's seal of approval upon him, now he's making intercession for sinners. Let that be an encouragement, whatever our condition and position might be. We may come to him and seek this forgiveness that he is setting before us. Because what do we see transpire upon this prayer? Yes, the other words will follow. And at the very end of his time on the cross, we will see that the centurion who saw what was done glorified God and said, certainly this was a righteous man. The other gospels give an account of this was the Son of God. This prayer is seeing the fruit of the intercession of our Lord. And Peter, the day of Pentecost, standing before those who had cried out, crucify him, who were guilty of the blood of the Lord. You who with wicked hands have crucified and slain, to you is proclaimed salvation because he has prayed for sinners. Thousands on that day came to believe that word of the gospel. Weeks and days that followed, thousands more, and through the ages, this prayer has been the hope and the comfort of countless sinners and saints. who come to Jesus just as we are. And we hear, Father, forgive them. Let's pray. Our gracious God, what a privilege it is to come together to consider the words our Lord has spoken. Impress them upon our hearts so that we, going forth from hearing these truths, may have met thee at the cross, as it were, as Paul says to the Galatians, who is evidently crucified among us. And so lift up our hearts in worship and praise and adoration that there is such an intercessor, such a one who has prayed for us, that we may stand in thy presence, cleansed from all our sin, and in his righteousness, we are healed. Bless us in the rest of this hour together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The first word of the cross came to you through the ministry of Reverend Mark Haldeman from Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary.